We're in Psalm 23, which is where we have been, and we're going to be there for at least a couple more Sundays. I'm not sure how to tie in 4th of July with Psalm 23, but we're going to figure it out. Well, maybe just paint a sheep red, white, and blue. We've began the past two Sundays by quoting Psalm 23. You ready to do that again? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside quiet waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest the table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's a long time, isn't it? The Lord is my shepherd. That's an incredible psalm. Psalm 23 is written, as you know, by King David. King David, as I think you also know, is a seasoned shepherd. He knows shepherding very well. He knows sheep very well, and so it's with great sobriety that he acknowledges his position in the universe. He says, I'm a sheep. God is my shepherd. He understands all those parameters. Remember, he's professional in this field. We're not talking about a guy who's unfamiliar with sheep. He's absolutely sober when he realizes that he's putting himself in the position of an animal that is quite dense, very defenseless, as sheep are. Have to be carefully tended, cannot be left alone, cannot provide for themselves. That's a huge statement. That's a difficult statement for any human being to say with sobriety, with great humility. This is who I am. David was a powerful man. David was a very accomplished man, very famous man, a very wise man. But David comes out and tells you, you need to know something about me. I'm a sheep. God's my shepherd. Huge statement. And as I've said before and continue to say, can you say that? Can you honestly say that about your life? It's important, extremely important that you be able to say that, or this psalm really means nothing to you. 23rd Psalm is first about acknowledging who God is, or who he's supposed to be for us, and who we're supposed to be. We weren't created to be independent. You were not. You were not created to be self-governing. You were not created to be, you were created to be cared for. You were created to be protected and provided for. You were created to be dependent creatures. This is who we are. We need to assume our role, okay? It's very dangerous, as I said before. Anytime you hear a sheep, anyone of our race, striking out in independence, especially from God, you got yourself, oh boy. Here's one thing you're going to know. It will not end well. It will definitely not end well. It's interesting just the concept of what heaven and hell are going to be like. One of the things, they're going to be vastly different in so many areas, but one thing they're going to be exactly the same in is the knowledge of those who are in both places. Both places are going to be theologically exact. You realize that? Everybody's going to have, in hell, going to have it all right about who God is and what their role should have been. And everybody in heaven's going to have it all right about who God is and what their role actually was. It's going to be very interesting. So we can live this life and not think we're sheep and not think God is our shepherd, and that's our option. Or we can live this life the total opposite way. But the end is going to be the same, you see. It's going to be with at least our conclusions are going to be the same when we get to that end. Anytime you see a sheep, namely us, saying words like this, I've got it all figured out. I know how it all works. Or they live their life that way. They may not actually say, you ask them the question, and most people say, oh, no, of course not. But they live arrogantly, they live independently, they live as if God doesn't exist, even though they may say that he does. They say things like, I'm following my own heart. Oh. Can you imagine a sheep saying, oh, I'm just going to follow my heart? What's going to happen to that sheep? Not even a day. It'll be dead by dark. It'll be gone. I know what's best for me. I can take care of myself. I've already said these things to you, but I don't need any help. Some of the worst things that a sheep could ever think about itself. Ever. Never should a sheep allow these things to think these things, because the sheep needs to know who he is. First of all, I'm a sheep, and I have to have a shepherd. I can't follow my own heart. I don't have it figured out. I'm never going to figure it out. But we have this whole position, and this is the position that I see most often in churches and people in churches, that they're not altogether sure about this whole sheep thing or shepherd thing. And so they keep God on. They're not anti-God in any way, but they keep God on as an advisor. You imagine a sheep, you got a sheep out in the field, and you say, where's your shepherd? Oh, I don't really have one. I have an advisor, though, who calls himself a shepherd. No. Shepherds don't advise sheep. Shepherd lead sheep. Shepherd tend sheep. Shepherd care for sheep. Shepherds deliver sheep from their own stupidity. This is what shepherds do. They don't advise them. They're not a counselor to a sheep. We don't need counselors, guys. We need a shepherd. We need a shepherd, and we need to do what he says. Don't call him shepherd and not do what he says. Absolutely don't do that. You're just fooling yourself. So with a doctorate degree, if you will, in sheep and shepherding, David says these sobering words. Oh, boy, am I definitely a sheep, and God is definitely my shepherd. You hear the wisdom in the things that he's saying? Oh, let me tell you something. I know sheep, and I know shepherding, and I'm telling you, I'm a sheep, and God is my shepherd. And I'm so grateful that he is. He pens this psalm, this very personal expression of his faith in God and his dependence and gratitude toward God. And then he writes here, effectively for us, leaving behind for us, a recipe for a good life. Do you want a good life? David gives us a very simple recipe. A simple recipe is this. To have a good life, the recipe for a good life is a close, intimate relationship with the shepherd. There is no other way. If you are a sheep, and you are, the only way a sheep can have a good life is to have a close, intimate relationship with his shepherd. Any sheep that does not have that will not have a good life. First of all, it will be a short life, more than likely. And then even if it isn't short, it's going to be terrible, fraught with all kinds of problems and fears and near-death experiences and horrible things if the sheep does not have a close, intimate relationship with the shepherd. Close, intimate relationship means that he knows the shepherd. He knows the shepherd well, which means he spends time with him. And when the shepherd says to do something, he does it. Again, don't tell me you have a close, intimate relationship with the shepherd and then not do what he says. So the recipe for a good life, very simply, a close, intimate relationship with the shepherd. This is true for little sheep, like I said. They need good grass. They need good water. They need relief from stress. They need protection from predators. They cannot provide these things, though, for themselves. They cannot. Oh, sometimes they come across good grass, like I said last time. They think, oh, look how smart I am. I found grass. Well, that's all they did was find it. Because the shepherd actually led them there, actually provided it for them. We saw last time that sheep have to be made to do what's best for them. They have to be made to do it. And that is true for us. Certain junctures in our life, God has to turn us. God has to eliminate all possibilities. God has to take us down to our knees. And we, how many of you have been there, right? And you're grateful now that God did what he did. You didn't like it at the time because it was going contrary to your narrow little sheep minds, wasn't it? Wasn't the way you had it pictured. It wasn't the way you had it figured out. But the shepherd said, no, this is the way. And praise God he does that. Praise God, he cares so much that he's willing to even bring us to our knees, that he does this kind of thing for us. But he prefers, listen to me, not to have to make us do everything. You think about it, if the shepherd's constantly having to make you do what's right, constantly having to rein you in, you should expect some discipline to come your way. You're a sheep that's got a stubbornness to you. You need to be broke. And he's capable of doing that. What he prefers, though, listen, is to have an ongoing, abiding relationship through which 99% of our needs are supplied. An ongoing, abiding relationship through which 99% of our needs are supplied. You show me a person who has a close, abiding relationship with God and who has the habit of doing what God tells them to do, and I will show you someone with a good life. I've known thousands of them. Show me a person who has a close, intimate relationship with God. I mean, they don't just say, oh yeah, God's my friend, but they haven't talked to God in a couple of weeks kind of thing. That's not a close, intimate relationship. They haven't read his word, you know. They're just lying, like I said, they're just lying to themselves. It doesn't do any good. They actually practice what they're actually saying. They have a close, intimate relationship, constant conversation, constant relationship. And they have a habit of doing, when they know what God wants them to do, they have a habit of doing what God says. And I will show you a person with a good life. Every single time. Not a person free of trouble, necessarily. Not a person free of problems. Free of sickness. Free of different things, no. But they do have a great life. Those things happen to all of us, regardless. Trouble, problems, sickness, illness. We all wind up dead in the end, right? But the bottom line is, you can have all those things happen to you and yet still have a good life if you have this shepherd in your life. You're allowing him to shepherd you. You have a close, intimate relationship with him. You will have a good life. And, hear me carefully, you will not have a good life any other way. You cannot. It is not possible for a sheep to have a good life apart from a close, intimate relationship with a shepherd. It's just simply not possible. David knew sheep. His sheep had it good because David was good. His sheep had it good because David would do anything for his sheep. Sheep had it good because David would lay down his life for the sheep. He tells us there, if you remember back in 1 Samuel, where David was going out to fight Goliath, and Saul takes him aside and says, you can't do this. This guy is a giant, and he's been a warrior since his youth, and you're just a boy. You can't fight this guy, and we don't have any armor that fits you, and all these reasons why he couldn't get out there. And David says, many times I've been in the field with my father's sheep, and a bear or a lion has come and taken one of the lambs, and I have gone and struck it. Would you go out and run after a lion comes and takes one of my dad's sheep? And I'm going to say, well, I don't know what to tell you, Dad, but man, I was in a tree, you know. He says, I went and struck it. That is, he's got a stick in his hand. He goes and whacks a lion to get a lamb away from it. That's the way David shepherd. Now, so he says, the sheep don't have to worry about anything because they know I'm on it. They know I'll protect them. They know I'm going to take care of them. They know I'll provide for them. And he says, with that knowledge, he says, this is the same thing that God does for me. This is the same way. This is the same relationship that we have. I trust him to be my shepherd. He protects me and provides for me. I know what it is to be a sheep. I know what it is to be a shepherd. So with absolute sobriety, I'm saying, this is the way my life is. He's recommending it to us. This is the way it is. I can live confidently and grow and prosper because of my relationship with my shepherd. Can you say that? Can you say that? You need to be able to say that. Sheep by nature are worriers. And what sheep worry about, mostly, they cannot control. That's why they worry. But almost all their life is out of their control. Where will they eat? What will they drink? What's coming around the next corner? They don't know, but they worry about it. And we're just like them, aren't we? There was a survey done not too long ago about what keeps people up at night, what we worry about. A couple of things rose to the top. Lots of things keep us up at night, but basic headings over things that keep us up. Number one are things that we need to do. Anybody ever been kept up at night by something you need to do? Now, isn't that crazy? Because unless you're having a midnight meeting with whoever you need to meet with, or you're getting up and doing it right then, there's no sense in staying up about it. Because it can't happen till tomorrow, but we'll still worry about it. We'll still stay up. It's so aggravating. Second thing that keeps people up, it says, is the things that they cannot change. So we cannot change them, but we cannot stop thinking about them either. Isn't that crazy? This survey determined that the average worry of the average person, that only 4% of the things that they worry about, they could actually do anything about. 4%. So 96% of what we worry about, we can do absolutely nothing about. Make you feel like a sheep? There's a reason for that. There's a real reason for that. There was a guy who was tired of worrying about his life, and so he decided that he was going to hire someone to worry for him. And so he hired a man for $200,000 a year salary to do his worrying for him. Wow, he didn't have a hard time finding anybody, because that's a pretty good salary. So he hires this guy to worry for him for $200,000, and he turns this guy, starts showing him all of his stuff and all of his business, and turns over to him all of his books. So the guy starts going through his books and seeing his income and seeing what his investments are, and he realizes this guy is not capable of paying me $200,000. So he goes into the man. He says, I was going through your books, and I noticed here, you said you're going to pay me a salary of $200,000, but he says, you can't make that. How are you going to pay me a salary of $200,000? He says, that's a good question. That's your first worry. Wouldn't it be nice to have someone do your worrying for you? Well, let me tell you something. You've got someone. His name is God. That's his job. He doesn't worry, but in the strict sense, but he does your worrying for you. He's your provider. He's your shepherd. You're his sheep. If you let him be your shepherd, that is. If you acknowledge your position as sheep. And if your life doesn't turn out good, and again, let's make sure that good doesn't fall in the parameters. Good doesn't mean necessarily I make a whole bunch of money, or that I'm healthy all the time, or that I live forever, or all these things the world pursuing. No. It means I can have none of those things and still have a good life. If he's your shepherd and your life doesn't turn out good, then who's to blame? See, when the sheep go from one place to another place and only half of them show up, they don't say, oh, well, those stupid sheep. Well, everybody knows sheep are stupid. It's not their fault. Whose fault is it? The shepherd's. Get a different shepherd. But when the sheep go from this place to this place and they arrive the same number, arrive over there as left over there, and they're just as healthy, maybe more healthy when they arrive over there, who gets the credit? The shepherd does. It's all about the shepherd. It's all about the shepherd. The shepherd is responsible. He's placed his name on you so that it's his name. He's concerned about his name. He protects it. Notice it, as it says there in Psalm 23, he leads me in the paths of righteousness. For what reason? For his name's sake. You see, he's got an investment in this. He's got a reputation to uphold. And so he's not going to tell you things that aren't good for you. He's not going to lead you in places that you shouldn't go. He's not going to fail to protect you. He's going to be there for you. God, as David says, shepherds me in the same way with the same results as I've shepherded my own sheep. The only way that God, listen, can shepherd us is through a close, intimate relationship. There is not another way. There is not another way. Not another effective way. You have to have a close, intimate relationship with him. Can you say that? Is that true of you? I'm not asking if you're saved or trusting Christ as personal Savior. I'm saying, is God your actual shepherd? Does it actually work that way in your life? Are you in intimate relationship with him, walking with him daily as much as you possibly can, as much as you possibly within the power of God in your life, or doing what he's telling you to do? Can you say that? You really need to be able to say that. The only way God can shepherd us is through that close, intimate relationship. Look at how much that comes through this relationship. Jesus speaks of himself, by the way, in the New Testament as that good shepherd. He's the guy. You want to know what his name is? His name is Jesus. Look what it says. This is John chapter 10. Jesus, speaking of Jesus, his sheep, that's us. Listen to his voice. Do you do that? He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. Don't you want someone who knows everything to lead your life? Isn't that a no-brainer? And why don't we do it so much? When he has brought all of his own out, he goes out ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. Wow. Wouldn't that be cool? To know the voice of the creator of the universe? Well, you do. Because if you're a sheep, you know when he's speaking to you. Now, you may have disobeyed it so many times that it's become clouded, but nonetheless, you still know. You can look back over your life right now and the times that you obeyed or disobeyed, you say, oh no, that was God and that was me. That was God, that was me. You know. Notice Jesus didn't say they should or they might or they could. He says they do. My sheep know my voice. His sheep know his voice. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus says, I come that they may have life and have it to the full. Like I said, his reputation is riding on how well his sheep do. So let him be your shepherd. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. If he's willing to do that, he's willing to do anything else, you see. He's given up everything for you, paying the ultimate price for us, then there's any other good thing he's not going to withhold from you. Again, it's not for you to decide what those good things are. Remember, you're a sheep. Oh, but he didn't do this for me, Pastor Bill. Well, you're dumb sheep. I already told you that. They don't get smart. So just take your position as a dumb sheep. You know, I thought that's the best way to say it. I thought that was good for me, but apparently it wasn't because my shepherd didn't allow that to happen. That's a good response. Smart. As smart as a sheep can get. Consider other things that comes for us, comes to us by allowing him to be our shepherd. Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within me. This is the voice of a shepherd. I'll provide for you. You'll have everything that you need. You'll be taken care of. This is, he's not stuttering here. Other provisions. Call to me and I will answer you and tell in great and searchable things that you do not know. What a great option for a sheep. That's what they need. Matthew 11:28. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You first got to say, I'm a sheep, though. And you secondly got to say, he's the shepherd. And then look what you get. What incredible blessings. Another one, 1 Peter 5:7. Cast all your cares on him because he cares for you. See, we have a place to go. We have an option. We have such blessings available to us. There's such incredible riches that come from allowing God to be your shepherd. But you've got to allow him to be your shepherd. It's so important that we have this close, intimate relationship with him. I'm going to be all right, we need to be able to say. David is saying this. I'm going to be all right, not because I know how it's going to all turn out or because I know what's coming next. I'm going to be all right because God is my shepherd. That's really all he's saying. It all boils down simply. It's all it boils down to is who's shepherding your life. Who is? You are? Someone else, something else. Who calls the shots or what does for you? I want us to think about, in conclusion, our Christian life, our spiritual life, like a balloon. You know, you can get a balloon to float a couple of different ways. The first way you can get a balloon to float is you blow it up with your own air, right? How well do those float? You got to keep smacking them, right? Smacking them, constantly smacking them. There's a lot of us that live our spiritual lives, our Christian lives, by and large, that way. The way we stay in spiritual orbit is somebody's got to keep smacking us. Come to church, a pastor, keep smacking us. Right? And I'm going to do that. That is my job. The scriptures smack us around. They do. But mostly, that's not, mostly God doesn't want to keep having to smack me to do what I'm supposed to be doing. What he prefers is the other way, to fill me. The other way to get a balloon to float is to fill it with helium. You got to smack a helium balloon? Now, the only way to keep them down is to tether them. Isn't that right? God wants to be in such a relationship with us so that it doesn't eliminate our need to go to church and get smacked occasionally by the preacher. But it does mean that if that isn't possible for me, I'll be just fine. Because I have the shepherd, you see. He fills my life. He fills my heart. My relationship with him is what keeps me in spiritual orbit. Nothing else. I don't have to have. It's nice to have a Sunday school class. I don't have to have. It's nice to have a good church. I don't have to have. It's nice to have Christian fellowship. I don't have to have, but it's nice to have good study books and other things. I don't have to have, but it's nice to have those things. But what I have to have is this intimate, ongoing, abiding relationship with a shepherd. That's all David's saying. And because of this, he says, my life is good. I want to ask you, if you would, bow your heads and close your eyes with me, please. the recipe for the good life. Yet there's only one way a sheep can have a good life. Close, intimate, ongoing, abiding, life-changing relationship with the shepherd. I'm not asking you if you know who the shepherd is. You've made his acquaintance. You've trusted him as Savior. I'm asking you, do you have that close, intimate, abiding relationship? You need to know something. The shepherd saved you so he could have that. It's not just a matter of what it does for you. It's a matter of what it does for him. He saved you because he loves you. He saved you because he wants you. He wants that relationship with you. It's not just something that he does. It's what he is. Heavenly Father, we thank you that your love is so great. Help us to understand it. Help us to feel and believe the great love that you have for us. Help us, God, to invest in that relationship so that we can know your voice, so that we can walk intimately with you, so that these things that come as a result of walking every day with the shepherd can be true for us, Lord. Thank you that you want that for us. You care so much, God, to continue to bring us back to yourself. Help us to give it to you today, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.